Good to have you along. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company on another exciting edition of Musical Excellence. Yes, sir, we call it Duncan's Garage. We've talked with a lot of great artists, both in studio and by phone. And just one of my favorite guys that I've played his music at various radio stations. In my opinion, he's one of the pioneers of contemporary Christian music. You may know him from such great Christian singles as How Excellent Is Thy Name, I Miss My Time With You. One of my favorites he did with Steve Green, Teach Me to Love, just fantastic. He has a new book out entitled Shaped Notes, How Ordinary People with Extraordinary Gifts Influenced My Life and Career. He co-wrote this with Christine Chubb. It's just a wonderful read. Larnell Harris joins me now by phone. Larnell, how are you this morning?
I am doing great, Ron, and life happens. You know what?
I know. We're doing good. That's right. That's exactly right. This is a powerful book. I probably read it in about a day and a half. It's a very easy read. It's a quick read. It's just very good. How did you come to write the book? Let's just talk about that. Obviously, your ministry spans 35, 40 years. Is this something that you always wanted to write, sort of a memoir, sort of something you always wanted to do?
Absolutely not. But as I'm fortunate enough to live about 80 miles from where I was born.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Little town, Danville, Kentucky. Yep. A lovely little town.
Okay.
And I still have kinfolk there. Okay. That's what we say in Kentucky. And every time I go to Danville and visit and the 80 miles back to Louisville, Kentucky here, I drag home another story.
Mm.
You know, another account from an aunt. I have an aunt there that's 90 years old.
Wow.
Or a story from a cousin or something.
Yes.
And so when the folks start talking about a book, I really had no idea. But then when they start talking about autobiography, listen, I haven't done enough to write a book about Larnell Harris. You know what I mean?
Right.
But those people that those stories were about, those accounts, people who spoke into my life as a kid, people like an old lady named Miss Georgia Dunahigh,
right,
who taught piano lessons, who found out I could carry a tune and started taking me around to various little events in Danville,
right,
to sing. I was a boy soprano, and so I didn't sing. I mean, you know, that wasn't something you did.
Exactly, right.
But she found out I could carry a tune. And I did my first concert at 9 years old in the First Baptist Church, Danville, Kentucky. Miss Georgia playing the piano.
That's fantastic.
And she was a lady. She went to my mom one time. This is the kind of person she was. And sometimes she just got on my last nerve.
That's right. That's right.
That's all there is to it. She went to my mom and said, you know what? You should not let Larnell play any sports that have anything to do with dust or anything with baseball or anything like that. Because the dust will hurt his voice. So she really kind of got on my last nerve. But as I have gotten older and understand that she helped me find a dream and helped other kids in town to sort of take the ceiling off of their dream.
Right.
Now, as opposed to getting on my nerves, I hope every town has a Miss Georgie, someone who doesn't want anything, has no agenda, and speaks into the lives of others.
Absolutely. And again, this is all mentioned in the book. You go into great detail about Miss Georgie. Talk about your parents real quick. Your dad was a bootlegger, but your mom was a praying woman. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Well, my dad was indeed a bootlegger, and mom, we all were. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We all were. We all were in the business, and yet my mom wanted another life, and she started praying for my dad.
Hmm.
And she was a Pentecostal holiness lady, and that's where all of us went to church. But Dad needed more, and I as a little boy, sitting in her knee, listening to her pray for my dad was something else. You know, I didn't understand all the dynamics of adult relationships and all of that stuff. And there were some tumultuous times around our home, and you'll have to read the book to find out what's going on with that. But I listened to her pray for him, and it was as though she were, you know, that scripture, you know, scriptures in the Bible where Jesus has come home to Capernaum, and the house is full, nobody else can get in there,
right?
And yet these four or five guys, whoever they were, they picked up this cripple on a mat.
That's right.
On a stretcher and took him to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Bible doesn't say anything, not one word about the paralytic's faith, but it talks about the faith of these people who wanted him, probably wanted him healed. And they got on the roof and they started tearing through the roof. And so I imagine my mom's prayers tearing through the shingles and tearing through all of the stuff that was in our family, and lowered my dad down, and my mom and the president, his friends, lowered him down in front of Jesus, and he was face to face with Jesus, probably for the first time in his life, though he was in church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus forgave his sins. Didn't say anything about healing him, but forgave him of his sins. Mm-hmm. And he became the spiritual head of our home after a time. And, guess what, little boy? Guess what, little boy needed to see that.
That's right.
And it made a great difference in my life. I know it. Hmm. So the heroes of the book, I mean, there are a lot of folks in there that we talk about.
Yes.
But the heroes are my mom, who probably didn't finish the eighth grade, the third grade, and my dad, who probably didn't finish the first.
Amazing.
The third grade.
Absolutely amazing. It's just so well written. You also have a new CD. We'll talk about it after the first song here, Disturb Us, Lord, Songs About the Cross. And I want to take a quick break and have you hear. This is Larno's latest single. It's the title track, Disturb Us, Lord. But I want you to hear a little short video before we go into that song about why Larnell chose to record the song itself. Here's Lido Harris on Duncan's Garage.
Disturb us, Lord, when worldly things delight us, and we fail to look above. When we withhold from others, though we've been given much. If the fire of our first love's not burning bright as before, disturb us, Lord. Disturb us, Lord, when we're not in your word and we don't spend time on our knees. When we have a chance but we don't speak the truth that sets men free. If we don't worship you with fiery passion anymore, disturb us, Lord. Sometimes in your great love, you comfort the trouble. Us, Lord, if our lives never touch the lives of those still in the dark, if we don't live with hearts that break, with the things that break your heart, in tenderness, please lead your church back to your heart once more. Disturb us, Lord. If we ever lose the wonder of the cross that you once bore, disturb us, Lord. Disturb us, Lord.
And you just heard a wonderful new single from Larnell Harris. Again, he joins me now by phone. I'm looking right here at the CD. It's Disturb Us, Lord, Songs About the Cross. There's 10 songs on here. Disturb Us, Lord is track number 3. Larnell, go into a bit of a detail when this song was brought forth to you and what made you sing it.
Some writers in Nashville, some great friends of mine as well, a guy named Tony Wood, Lee Black, David Clark. Dave Clark and I have been writing together for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought this song up to me, and I played just a little bit of it. And after the first two or three lines, I said, you know what, that needs to be heard. And they wanted me to sing it.
Mm.
I think what drew me to it was an experience that I had in when I visited Israel. We had a Messianic Jewish lady lead us around, showing us the sights. And she took us to the Garden of Gethsemane. And she allowed us to go into a part of the garden that we, hadn't gone into, that most people don't get to go into.
Mm.
And so we sang some hymns and, did all of that. And boy, talk about an inspiration. This woman, basically gave up her family to follow Jesus. That's what happens when a Jewish person becomes a Christian.
Yes.
And so now I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane, and who are there 2,000-year-old olive trees still bearing fruit. Some of these trees were around there when Jesus was there.
Yes.
So I'm wandering around there. Now I'm trying to figure out where Jesus sweat that blood.
Hmm.
My imagination is just going wild here. And I started to think about where the disciples fell asleep. Here is life and death in the balance here, and the disciples are sleeping. Guess who I identify with? Man, I identify with the disciples.
Mm.
Every once in a while, it has to happen. Jesus grabs me by the shoulders or by the neck in a loving way and
yes.
shakes me such that I understand what's going on. That the most important things are happening, that he is making happen, that he's doing his best to portray to the world what grace is, what peace is, what
yes.
hope is,
yes.
that I have to be awakened to understand this one concept that I have.
Hmm.
The wonderful opportunity and obligation, yes, and obedience to follow, to put myself in a place where God can do his work in my heart and in my life.
Hmm.
So disturb us, Lord. You know what? Every once in a while, we need to be disturbed.
That's right.
When my kids were growing, we got grandkids.
Right.
I loved them both, and I loved them with all my heart. But I didn't want all good things to happen. You know what I mean? I wanted some a little turmoil. I wanted a little of things maybe not going so good all the time.
Right.
You know why? Because sometimes that's life, and you need to be awakened to the opportunity that you have. And sometimes
That's
we as humans don't get it
yeah.
until there's a little something that goes wrong. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
We understand joy and peace when we've had a little sorrow. Of course, that happens in many ways. It happens when a loved one is sick in your home. I mean, my
right.
dad was here for the last few years of his life, and my kids had seen him on the farm, this virile man raising tobacco and plowing and raising cattle and doing all those things. And now they see him, and he is weak from a procedure that has just been done at the hospital. We have to bring him up the steps.
Hmm.
Those kind of things disturb us in a way that lets us know that life is not forever, and that we
right.
that we need to take it by the neck with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and live it through Him.
Yeah, it's just
disturb us, Lord.
Yeah, I have a grandfather who will be turning 94 later in May. He was a Methodist preacher for 50 years, and
yeah.
I think maybe he still preaches. I don't know, but I don't get a chance to talk with him that much. And when I was in high school, my grandparents actually moved into our home, and I just could go downstairs. I still remember this anytime I wanted, and just talk with my grandparents, and it was just wonderful.
Yeah.
My grandmother has now since passed on with the Lord about 3 years now. I can't believe it. The memories I have with them, and then what they're going through now. Again, they were married 60 some years before my grandmother passed.
Yeah.
Yes, life is tough. I have twin girls. And so, oh, that's not fair. I'm like, life is not fair, folks. It's not
right.
fair.
That's right.
But that's why Jesus came to save us. That's the whole reason
that's
of the gospel.
That's why we need him.
That's exactly right.
We need him.
That's exactly right.
What a joy that time in our lives was. And yes, I need to be disturbed so that I understand that sorrow and things not going so well sometimes is a part that God uses as a part of my Christian growth.
Yeah. I remember Michael Card even had a book about, the sorrows and what Job went through and everything else. You have to experience the bad in order to enjoy and even love the good. You know, you really
get
do.
It, for sure.
Larnell's album, 1998, is called First Love. The last track on the album, I believe, is one I used to play when I did overnights at a Baltimore radio station, a Christian radio station. And true story, this was the first time I'd ever played this song. The song is called I Want to Go. It's a long song. It is a powerful song, and you're going to hear it right now. Here's Larnell Harris on Duncan's Garage.
Finally pray. want to be among your people where you are. I cannot live my life alone. I don't know how, but you would not bring me this far to leave me now. You would not bring me this far to
And you just heard a wonderful song sung by Larno Harris. This is I Want to Go from his 1998 release entitled First Love. And again, I didn't really know the song until I put it on the air. And once I did, oh, I was so touched. In my opinion, Larno, this is sort of like a prodigal son and a Ruth story. Just talk about what it was like singing this particular song back in the day, I guess.
Well, I have to tell you, it's everybody's story. Mm. I mean, I grew up in the church. My mom, not by choice, you know.
Yeah.
My mom made me go, and yet there came a time when I had to not depend on the faith of my parents. I had to find my own.
Right.
And I Want to Go, I think, takes us through that process. A process of growing up, of understanding what's important, who is important in our lives. And of course, that goes back to Shape Notes. And I am so thankful that when I sing that song, that's what I hear. That's my story. Boy, I remember that. That's my story. And then it causes you to see where you've come from and how you have grown. Sometimes we can't always see it in ourselves, you know, somebody has to look and see, well, your hair is changing a little bit. You got a little bald spot there. You know, yeah, you are getting older. You are getting, and hopefully wiser in the things of the Lord.
I want to talk about a couple other things. We've only got about 5 minutes left. It's been a wonderful conversation. You and I were talking off mic. I taped the entire funeral of the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. Cliff Barrows and George Beverly Shea, those names are just, they're just synonymous with the gospel to me. What did you pull away from the funeral, both on an emotional level and a true spiritual level? What was that whole event like?
Well, I have to tell you, the event was like the man. There were some magazines, I think CCM and some others, were gathering quotes from various people, and they asked me for a quote. And here's what I said, something to this effect. A friend will tell you the truth and love you regardless of the decision that you make regarding that truth. Billy Graham was a true friend to the world, because that's what he did. He looked at the world. He saw it through the eyes of Jesus. He told us the truth of what a life with Christ was like and how to get there. And then loved the world regardless of what they did with it.
He
just preached it.
That's right.
And to be at his memorial service was a wonderful experience. I was also at Cliff's memorial service in Charlotte. And Bev, I got to know these folks. The most important thing about that group was that everything pointed to that message. They were a team. The most important aspect of the evening of any of this crusades was the message, and everything pointed to that. And I have to tell you, I am so thankful that I was blessed over a period of years to go in and share in, not career building, a step up, but to see what it's like when a team joins together, when people join together in prayer with great music, just like in the Old Testament, pointing to the reading and the delivery of the word.
Exactly.
And it was a wonderful experience for me. I remember the first crusade I did was in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow.
That morning, it was a Sunday, and that morning, I'm about 100 miles from Cincinnati. That morning, I sang in my little church, a church that Mitzi and I were attending.
Right.
It was probably about 25 people there. That night, there were probably 50,000, you know? And I learned a great lesson there. You know what? The message is the message. you sing it with the same fervence for 50,000 as you do for 25, and vice versa.
That's exactly
right. And that's a lesson I've never forgotten. This is not about Larnell. This is not about you. This is not about us. All of this is about the Lord Jesus. To see a man and a team, but the man, Billy Graham, and to understand that it wasn't about him. It was about his Lord.
It's so true. I remember Franklin Graham pretty much gave an altar call right there. You know, each of the Graham kids came up, and they were, you know, some were short and sweet, but Franklin just went to town. And, you know, if you were watching Fox and you didn't get convicted, someone was wrong with you, you know.
Isn't that great? What a great opportunity. There was a line in the obituary, I think it said, that, or maybe Franklin said it, Dr. Graham is more alive today than he was when he was here.
That's right.
Because his message, you know, that's what happens when you are sincere and when your life is dedicated to the Lord. This keeps going. The message keeps
going. It does. It truly does.
The hope that we find in Jesus is eternal. Through Dr. Graham, I think many of us, and many who don't even know the Lord, many who don't know him, will come across a message that says that God is continually trying to get us from temporary to eternal.
Absolutely.
And through his word.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Oh, man. The half hour is going by so fast, my friend. It's just ridiculous. Again, the book is entitled Shape Notes, How Ordinary People with Extraordinary Gifts Influenced My Life and Career. You wrote this with Christine Schaub. It's just a wonderful read. There's so much in this book we didn't talk about. You talk about Mitzi and your wonderful relationship with her over the last 40-some-odd years. You talk about you're even a ham radio geek, which I think is fantastic. For everything, it's all on your website, right? Larnell, LARNELLE.com, correct, my friend?
That's correct. Correct.
Very good.
And you're getting easier than that.
Make sure our listeners know it's Larnell, not Lionel, and you talk about that in the book, LARNELLE.com. It's a great website, and again, you're hopping on Facebook. It's all kinds of good stuff. Larnell Harris, thank you so much for the time, my friend. It was absolutely an honor and just a wonderful privilege.
Well, Ron, thank you for the time. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Again, that's Larnell Harris. Check him out online, LARNELLE.com. You're going to love the book. He talks about the Gaither Vocal Band, a band I grew up listening to, and just all kinds of good stuff. That's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you very much, as always, for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.